Which 49er players are wild cards, and how might they affect the outcome of the 2024 NFL season for the San Francisco 49ers? All that and more on this episode of 49ers Cutback.
From the alley-oop to Kezar to the glory days at the stick. From who's got it better than us to brick by brick. It's always the 49ers way, from off-season to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers Cutback.
It's 49ers Cutback podcast time. Welcome to the show, everyone. I want to talk about wild card 49ers. And it's players on the San Francisco 49ers that could have a huge impact on 2024. Because the 49ers have some question marks, whether that's at a certain position or certain players that are going to be playing that position, or maybe even some players that if they hit could put the 49ers over the top to be able to get it done and win that sixth Lombardi trophy. Every single year when you come into a new season, you've had to make changes. You've had to bring players in. You've had to draft new players. You've had to release players, let players go, trade players away. Every single year, there's a little bit of change when it comes to the roster. With the ushering in of free agency a long time ago, things just changed. And things change for the 49ers, and you have reliance on some of these young players or players that you bring in being able to make an impact on your football team. That's the difference between the team taking a step back, the team staying pat, or the team taking a step forward. And ultimately, when your wild card players hit, you take a huge step forward. A wild card player in 2022 could have been Brock Purdy. And look at what happened when he came on the scene. He made big time plays. Talano Hufanga, coming into his second year, was a wild card player who ended up being an all pro and helped tipping the scales in the direction of the 49ers having a big turnaround after Jaquiski Tartt moved on. So the 49ers have had these moments where guys had to step up and make an impact on their football team. And now we're going to talk about those wild card players for the 49ers in 2024. For some of these guys, it's a question of if they can do it. And for some, it's a if they do it, this is going to change the game for the San Francisco 49ers. Please like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. I really appreciate it. If you're listening on audio platform, 49ers Cutback on Believe, please give it a 5-star rating. And if you're going to bet, bet with Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game is over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. And there's so many different ways you can go with talking about wildcard players. And I think the first one I want to go is the direction of, is this player going to be the guy we believe he can be and the guy that we're expecting him to be, or is he not? And the first guy I'm going to bring up is Jair Brown. And Jair Brown, I think a lot of people have a positive thought process on. We saw some things last year from Jair Brown that make you think, wow, he's going to be a great San Francisco 49er. But there's still a lot of unknowns. Jair Brown didn't play in a lot of football games last year. He didn't start a lot of games. And when he came back from his injury, the 49ers didn't insert him back to the starting lineup right away. He had to keep trying to earn it. And you could tell there was a little bit of displeasure when he wasn't chosen to play that role. They went with a different guy in Logan Ryan, a veteran who they felt understood more about the game, understood concepts, and could be in the right places at the right time. They placed him with Tashaun Gibson. Well, Jair Brown got thrust out there a little bit early. So it leaves the question, who is Jair Brown going to be in 2024? I think when you look at what he did in the playoffs and you look at what he did in the Super Bowl as far as causing turnovers, you got to like what you see from Jair. But when you have a 10% missed tackle rate and you have some missed tackles in the run game, not filling that alley like you really want, or getting confused when it comes to some route concepts, you have to at least leave the door open that he's a little bit more of a wild card than a sure bet. And I think we felt the same way about Hufanga when he was coming into his second year. It was like we saw some really positive things for him as a rookie, but we were very curious how he was going to handle coverage. Was he going to be more than just a box safety that could make plays inside the box, help in run fits, cover running backs and tight ends out of the flat? What exactly what you're going to get? I think we're at that impasse right here with Jair Brown as well. I think we're all optimistic. You see the athletic ability, you see the size, the speed, the ability to cover in space. He's a guy that can cover the deep third and can come in the box. So versatility. But the 49ers need this wild card to hit. If Jair Brown doesn't hit for the 49ers, they are in trouble. There is no safety net for the San Francisco 49ers at safety position. Kalanui Fong is coming off an injury. Now, the expectation is, and he's hoping his goal is to be ready week one. Doesn't leave a lot of room for somebody to struggle at the other safety position. You got a young player, Malik Mustafa. You can be excited about what he could be in the future. But what do you got besides that? George Odom? George Odom has been a career special teams guy, and they're talking him up, which I love. I hope he can make an impact on this team if he's asked to play defense, but you can't count on that. Taylor Hawkins, you know, if you've been on the channel for a while, he's one of my favorite guys since he came as an undrafted free agent out of San Diego State. But Taylor Hawkins is not a starting caliber safety in the NFL. You're hoping Jair Brown's going to be. So Jair Brown has to open the door and make this happen. He has to become the player that everyone expects him to be. The 49ers need him to be on the right track. But he's a wild card because you just don't know for sure what you're going to get from Jair Brown. I hear it from different fans all the time. There are some that think Jair Brown's going to be the next big star in the NFL, and there's others that think he's going to struggle compared to what he did last year. Whenever that happens, you know it's a wild card player, and I think Jair is. Now, I think we can all be optimistic from what we saw his transition and how he learned last year that he can be a good player in this league. And I think the fact that it looked like he figured out the speed of the game is going to be very important. And now it'll be a second year in the system, but he's going to have to adjust to playing with Hufanga when Hufanga gets back. But Jair Brown is a wild card for the 49ers, and this is a starter that's a wild card for this team. If he hits, the 49ers back in is shored up. If he doesn't, the 49ers have tremendous question marks, and they might have to go out and make another move. They're going to know in training camp, but I think Jair Brown is going to have to prove that he can be the right side of this and not the wrong side of it. The next guy that I'm going to have on the list, and we've been talking about him a little bit because Fred Warner had some very nice comments about Dee Winters, but let's be honest, Dee Winters is an absolute wild card. And once again, a guy that's going to potentially step into the starting lineup and play next to Fred Warner and Devondre Campbell. And we don't know what we're going to get. Talk about limited snaps. We talked about a limited opportunities and limited looks at Jair Brown. It's even more limited for Dee Winters. It's mop-up time, and it's injury-based in the Super Bowl where you see Dee Winters. He's got all the athleticism in the world. He's tremendously athletic. He's fast. He can go sideline to sideline. He's got tremendous instincts. But we didn't see that last year at training camp. I was at training camp most of the days, and I watched him, and Jalen Graham definitely outplayed him during training camp. Now, all the reports are that Dee Winters stepped up and overtook Jalen Graham during practices during the season, and I think the fact he came in before Graham in a lot of situations shows that he did that. Optimism there. But you're talking about a guy who's going to step in potentially and start, because we need Dee Winters to be out there instead of Demetrius Flanagan-Fowles. And Flanagan-Fowles is going to play his own consistent play, but he's not as good as what Dee Winters could be. He's not as good as what Jalen Graham could be. And so we need that guy to take it to the next level, because the 49ers had some struggles when it came to the run defense last year, and they need to shore that up. You bring in Campbell to handle things while Dre Greenlaw's out, But we saw what happens when you have a third linebacker that can be taken advantage of. Oren Burks was taken advantage of in the playoffs. And then when it got to the Super Bowl and he was asked to step into the Dre Greenlaw role, they absolutely picked him apart. And so you need a guy that can step in and get it done. And just like Jair Brown, if D Winter steps in and is that wild card player that the 49ers are hoping he can be, then they're set. They're stout. And all of a sudden, this defense changes tremendously. Because now you're solid with your third linebacker. Now you're solid with your safety with Jair Brown. And you're feeling like the middle part of that defense just got a whole lot better. But he has to hit. And right now, I don't think anyone can feel comfortable saying, you know what? D Winters as at minicamp was really good. He's going to hit. Because you have to prove it on the field consistently. So even though we like everything about D Winters, we like his skill set, you like what you see in his college film, we haven't seen enough from his NFL film, from his NFL practices, that's training camp especially, to say, you know what, D Winters is going to be that guy. He's an absolute wild card. And if he hits, it's going to pay huge dividends for the 49ers because they have Devondre Campbell for 1 year. But next year, they're going to have to make a decision. And maybe D Winters is stepping in as that next generation of great linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers. So D Winters is a guy, once again, another starter. So you got starter potential at safety with Jair Brown. How's he going to be as a wild card? And now D Winters, who could start, because we need him to start over Flanagan Fowles and over the rest of those linebackers, because he's the most gifted, he's the most talented that you can have at that position. Now I'm going to flip to the other side of the ball, and I'm going to flip to a different type of situation. Is we have a player on offense that is tremendously talented, but is not living up to expectations. He is a wild card by every sense of the word, because you just don't know what you're going to get from him because you haven't seen it yet. And some people are ready to give up on this guy. Some people have moved on to other players, to other guys that do it. And some people are holding on to that hope. And this one is one of those absolute velocity type players and wild card pick in Danny Gray. And the reason I put Danny Gray as a wild card, because of the effect he could have on special teams and the effect he could have to taking the top off the defense. The 49ers have been looking for a player that can consistently do that, play the X receiver, which is what Brandon Ayuk plays, and then run a vertical and make everyone on the defense fear his speed. And when you talk about Danny Gray compared to the rest of the 49ers wide receivers, he's a step above all of them. Speed-wise, that element that the 49ers just don't have. And yes, a lot of people have said Danny Gray was drafted to pair with Trey Lance, and that could be the case. But Danny Gray is more than just a vertical threat. Danny Gray is also a guy that can catch the ball in space and house call any ball he gets to. He could be a playmaker. He has yak potential. The reason that I'm still holding on to Danny Gray is because of what I saw in person in training camp last year. My eyes on Gray, because that was one of my biggest question marks going into last season. Who was going to step up and be that guy behind Ray Ray, that wide receiver five? Who was going to help on special teams, potentially in kick return and punt return? And Danny Gray is that guy. Danny Gray gives you so much ability to be able to run fly sweeps, catch screens, get vertical, but also catch a dig over the middle of the field and just absolutely run past everyone to the end zone. There's not many guys that can do what Danny Gray can do. So he's a wild card. And he's a wild card because last year in week two of the preseason, on the opening kickoff, he landed wrong on his shoulder and got hurt. We don't know who Danny Gray would have been last year. I can only tell you my opinion that I think Danny Gray would have made the 53-man roster and been able to play consistently. And we know he's a guy that did make the 53. Then they put him on IR. They still were thinking about bringing Danny Gray back at some point in the season. Now, it didn't work out, but imagine what you could add to your offense if you get a Danny Gray that's going to make an SMU impact, the guy that's going to get out there, catch the ball in space and take it to the house, get vertical. Now you've got two legit speedsters with Jacob Cowing and Danny Gray, and as fast as Jacob Cowing is, Danny Gray is elite fast. He is one of those guys that no corners can stay with. He changes the game if he's able to run other routes consistently. You can't just be a vertical threat. You got to be more than that. But he would be a potential legitimate guy to give you some different looks when Debo's out. You could still run fly sweeps. You could still run him in some of those interesting motion actions and get him going, get the eyes of the defense on him because he's so fast. Exit motion with Danny Gray. All of a sudden, you've got a switch in coverage if they're in a man, or you could potentially just go ahead and take advantage of a zone. There's a lot of things you could do with Gray if he's available. So he's a wild card by every sense of the imagination because we do not know what we're going to get from Danny Gray. It's complete projection. You're hoping you're going to get impact from Danny Gray. He's a wild card this season. Now I'm going to talk about two guys, and one of them is definitely on people's minds. And there are people that believe he's going to be cut. There's no possible way he could do anything. And then there's those that are holding out hope. And I'm a holding out hope guy because I don't think we really got to see the best of Cameron Latu. And the reason I make him a wild card is because Cameron Latu's talent has never been in question. The size, the speed, the athleticism, the hands, he had it at Alabama. I think there was a little bit of concern about how high he was taken, whether you believe he's a third-round pick or you believed he was a fifth-round pick. It doesn't matter anymore. He's on the San Francisco 49ers. But here's why I have him as a wild card. You brought in Logan Thomas, and Logan Thomas is going to handle tight end too. But Cameron Latu has the ability to help take the tight end position to another level in 2024 and 2025. Imagine having a third tight end that's a legitimate threat when you need a guy to go out there and make a play. We know Logan Thomas can do that. But these are the type of guys that take you over the top, where it's not just a body. It's not just a guy that goes out there and plays and has occasional good snaps. But it's a guy that goes out there and can make big-time plays for your football team. Oh, George Kittle's out for a game or two? Okay, Logan Thomas is tied in one. Cameron Latu is tied in two. We still run our 12 personnel. We still run our 22 personnel. And he can go out there and make an impact catching the football. You don't want to lose elements to your playbook. And if the guy behind is not able to step up and be able to fill in when you have an injury, then you lose elements of your playbook. If you don't trust tight end three to be able to get the job done, then you can't run as much 12 personnel or as much 22 personnel as maybe you want. And maybe the game plan would dictate depending on what team you're playing. So you have to make sure you have these guys. But also, what happens next year when Logan Thomas potentially moves on? Imagine if Cameron Latu could just step right in behind George Kittle and you could feel comfortable that he's the next wave, the next generation of good tight end in San Francisco. I'm not saying he's going to be George Kittle because that is one of the elite tight ends we've ever seen in this league. And I don't want to put expectations like that on any player. And I don't think Cameron Latu's in that mold, but he definitely has a higher ceiling than some of the other guys. And his running mate, Braydon Willis, has to be a wild card too. Because I think people are talking about Braydon Willis being a big-time player like it's a foregone conclusion that he's just going to step in and make this team. I believe he's ahead of Cameron Latu because he played all season. He was getting those practices, and he looked decent blocking. But I don't think his blocking was so good that you're like, you know what, that guy's for sure making the team. And I definitely don't think that his catching ability or receiving ability was on display at all. He just wasn't asked to do it a whole lot. It was basically George Kittle and Charlie Warner all year. Occasionally, you would see Braydon Willis. So I think there's a lot of unknown with Braydon Willis. We'll say this. I really like him. I like his skill set. I like the fact that he battles when he's blocking. I think he's got good hands. I think he's a pretty good route runner. He could step on the scene and have some big-time plays. But the 49ers have wild cards at tight end 3 and 4. It's just going to be a big question to see how these guys continue to grow. With Latu, just he's got to catch the ball. He's got to make sure he doesn't look like he's underwater when it comes to the playbook. For Braydon Willis, we just have to see it more consistently. We just haven't had an opportunity. He hasn't had an opportunity yet. So I like the 49ers tight end room. I think it was super smart to go out and get Logan Thomas because you had two wild cards there. Imagine if you were just counting on these guys potentially hitting, because we do know wild cards can go one way or the other. Sometimes they're good for you and sometimes they're bad. And so 49ers hoping these two tight ends are going to work out and be big-time football players for their team. One of the biggest wild cards for this entire team, after listening to what Chris Forster has said this offseason, has got to be who he considers the most talented interior offensive lineman on the team, Spencer Burford. And because of the Super Bowl, there's a lot of people that are way out on Spencer Burford. But go back and watch his rookie film. The rookie film showed some moments where you're like, wow, Spencer Burford, he's got some ability there. I mean, the dude's got some good snaps. Then you fast forward to his sophomore year, and you saw good snaps. You saw times where he just absolutely dominates. You saw times he did his job extremely well. And then, like Coach Chris Forster said, he just wasn't consistent. And that is something the 49ers are looking for at the position, is consistency. So who do they go with? John Feliciano. And, of course, Feliciano got his opportunity because of an injury to Spencer Burford. And he never looked back. Because what is Feliciano? A consistent veteran. But you can't ignore Spencer Burford. Because the truth is, and this is a truth that is just as clear as it can be, Spencer Burford, at this point in his career, is more athletic. He's more talented. He could be a better player. Could being the key. He could be better than Feliciano if he lives up to expectations. He has a higher ceiling. So for the 49ers, this is a wild card situation. Chris Forster's talking about putting Spencer Burford in competition with Dominic Pooney, the new draft pick. And you know I like Dominic Pooney. So you've got a situation where you've got Pooney, you've got Spencer Burford in the competition. Competition breeds the best you're going to get out of a football player. So Spencer Burford's chance is right now. And here's the thing. If you get Spencer Burford to play at the level that Spencer Burford is capable of playing, he will change this offensive line in a positive way. Remember, coming from the rookie season to the sophomore season, everyone was looking at Burford like, this is the next great interior offensive lineman. This is the next great guard in line for the 49ers. One bad year, and I don't even think it was all bad, but a bad postseason, and people are ready to just throw him out. And you just got to have time with a young player. And he's extremely young. He was drafted young. He's still young. He needed time to develop. And he just needs to get a little bit more consistent. So I'm very curious where he is. If he hits, 49ers offensive line might be good enough to potentially help the 49ers get over the hump and win the Super Bowl. If he doesn't, well, we know what the offensive line is with John Feliciano at guard. But even though that's good, and I like Feliciano, I mean, Feliciano, I think, did a really, really good job. But when you're looking at what it could be, Dominic Pooney, Spencer Burford just have the ability to take this offensive line to another level. And maybe Burford won't wake up and won't do it, and he'll be a wild card that goes the wrong way. But if he hits, just might put the 49ers over the top. We need Banks to stay healthy and Burford to hit as a wild card for this 49ers offensive line. Over on defense again, Drake Jackson is a wild card for this team. And this might be put up or shut up for Drake Jackson. When you look at what he was thought of coming into last season, everyone was starting to put Drake Jackson as, man, we should start Drake Jackson over Cleveland Farrell. And of course, I was pretty consistent as I knew Cleveland Farrell was going to start because he was the better run stopper. He's a better edge defender when it came to stopping the run game. And then Drake Jackson was going to be your pass rush help. Now, I knew that Drake Jackson wasn't going to be that guy because I thought Cleveland Farrell was going to hold up and have enough pass rush. But Jackson came in, and he really came in gangbusters early on in the season. And if you go back and you watch like the first four games of the season, Drake Jackson had some moments where he looked really good. Some first step quickness, a little under move with that rip, a couple of really good things, changing direction on offensive tackles. There were some really good moves from Drake Jackson, and it's like, woo, that is what we're looking for. The problem is there's also other film where he gets stymied, where he never moves. Offensive tackles collapse him to the ground. He gets blown up all the way to the sideline. There are things like that you see, and you're like, ooh, and then you see good. So what are we going to get from Drake Jackson? He's an absolute wild card. We don't know what we're going to get from Drake Jackson. Are we going to get the guy that makes those big-time plays, or are we going to get the guy that absolutely gets handled? I think that's the question mark. If he hits, 49ers got themselves another extremely good edge rusher. You're looking at a team that is just absolutely loaded when it comes to defensive end. If he doesn't, well, then it's all going to fall onto Robert Beal. And Robert Beal only played 60 snaps last year. Not exactly the biggest sample size to see what he is, but all the hype coming into the season, GTFO, he's going to get off the ball. He's going to make plays in the backfield. And then we didn't quite get to see it. Every once in a while, you would see him out there and he would make a couple plays. But 49ers pretty much went with a three-man rotation for most of the playoffs. Nick Bosa rarely came off the field. Chase Young rarely came off the field. And the only time they did was when Randy Gregory was going in. So I don't think we can say Robert Beal is a proven commodity. That's for sure. So Robert Beal's another wild card. The 49ers have two wild cards at defensive end. And we're wanting one of these guys to hit. If one of them hits, this 49ers defensive line becomes elite at the edge rusher position. Because now you have a full rotation where you can go Bosa, Floyd, and then Gross Matos, and then one of these guys, Beal or Jackson. Now, the ultimate in riches, embarrassment of riches is if both hit. And then all of a sudden you're looking at these guys, you're like, wow, we're five deep at defensive end. We can withstand a little bit of an injury. Or we can go out there and we can do some really cool stuff with our NASCAR package. But one of them has to hit. And opportunity hasn't exactly been there for Beal. But because we haven't seen it, we just don't know who he is. Now, I can go back and watch Georgia film, and I have. And I can go back and watch some of the games he played during the season, and I can see some things I really like. I think he's going to be better against the run than a lot of people think he's going to be. And I saw some first-step quickness and some good hand placement, hand fighting, and he showed enough with his long arm to be able to get a push and drive people back. He's got a little bit of a bull rush, so the power of speed combination was more so than I expected in his rookie year. So I'm optimistic. Same with Drake Jackson. I'm still optimistic, but I'm concerned because he had the injury. I don't know when he's going to be ready. I think there's a likelihood he might miss the entire training camp. Now we'll see. Maybe he'll get out there. But those guys are wild cards if there were ever wild cards for this 49ers team, and they need one of them to hit. If they hit, you've got an opportunity for this defense to be one of the best defensive lines you've ever had. If they don't hit, you're three deep again, and you're missing somebody else. And there is a potential of a couple of guys being available. I'm going to have a video over on Patreon where I'm going to talk about some guys on the open market that could be available for the San Francisco 49ers that fit this scheme if something happens and Beal and Jackson aren't available and ready to make a big-time impact. And my last guy is in the secondary. And you'll notice I didn't talk about Ricky Pearsall or Jacob Cowing or Isaac Garendo, or even Renardo Green, because they're rookies. So they're already, we know they're all wild cards. We don't know exactly what they're going to be. I mainly try to keep it about guys who are second year or beyond that are coming in and looking to make a team where it's like, hey, what are these guys going to do for your team and how can they put you over the top? Because the truth is, if these wild cards hit, 49ers have got a really good chance to win the Super Bowl. Now, for some, you need them to hit. The winners, Dyer Brown, they need to hit for the 49ers to have a really good defense. For Drake Jackson, for Robert Beal Jr., they need to hit for the 49ers to put themselves over the top as far as defensively being able to put that pressure. Another position the 49ers need to hit, and I've talked a lot about Isaac Yedem. I'm not going to talk about him here. Him, you know, he's definitely a guy that could be considered a wild card, even though I think he's going to be a breakout player for the Niners. But how about Darrell Luter Jr.? Darrell Luter Jr. got so much hype last season. I was really surprised how much hype he got during the offseason after the draft for a fifth-round pick. People really liked his length. They liked his size. His college film was fun to watch. And he looked like a guy who was physical and that could come up and make plays, which we know the 49ers need at the position. But Luter Jr. carried so much hype that when he got hurt in rookie minicamp and wasn't available through training camp, you wondered if they were just saw he was completely raw and stashed him. But that wasn't the case, because when we got into the regular season, they brought him off the PUP list and he was able to go out there and play on special teams. Now, he got no significant snaps playing cornerback. He played in a couple of blowouts, had some inconsistent play. But who exactly is Darrell Luter Jr.? I mean, how good is he going to be? I've heard some saying that they watched him at minicamp and he's the second best cornerback on the team, not named Charvarius Ward, which is insane to think, because D'Amore Lenore is obviously the second best cornerback on this team. And I would argue Isaac Yedem is better right now than Darrell Luter Jr. But let's say that Darrell Luter Jr. is that good. Talk about a wild card for your football team, a guy with 3 years of control that you can have step in. If he's playing that well, freedom and flexibility to potentially move on from one of your starting corners, because you have Bernardo Green you're excited about. He's going to be a young rookie that's going to develop, but can you pay Jarvarius Ward? Can you pay Deommodore Lenore? Can you pay them both? Well, if Darrell Luter Jr. is really going to be this guy, not only do you not have to worry about that right now, but you've got a guy that can legitimately step in when Deommodore Lenore goes in and plays nickel. Imagine if Darrell Luter Jr. is that guy. Or let's say he's not ready initially, but you have an injury to Isaac Yedem, and now you've got a guy that can step in Luter Jr. I think it's fascinating to think about these wild cards and how they might help the 49ers in 2024. It's inevitable that players go down for injury. Now, we're hoping that none of it is ever season-ending and those players can come back, but the depth behind them have to hit. For the 49ers, in some cases, it needs to be the starters that hit. Jair Brown, D. Winners have to hit for the 49ers to have a very solid defense. For others, it's about depth and how what they could do with Drake Jackson and Robert Beal and how that would affect the entire defensive front and the defensive line rotation. For others, it's the type of player that would put you over the top, like Danny Gray with his elite skill set, or Cameron Latu changing the way the tight end position could be played, even in case there's an injury to George Kittle. So many guys with looking for an opportunity to hit. For some, they've never proved it. For some, they've showed us something. It's going to be a fun season. The 49ers have some wild cards that could be making an impact on their team in 2024. Let me know what you think about this episode, and let me know which players you put as wild cards, or some of these guys not wild cards. You know for sure they're going to make it. I'm curious to see what you say. Please like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. I appreciate that. If you're listening to audio platform, 49ers Cutback on Believe, of course, it's available on all audio platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Pods, wherever you listen. And then this episode is brought to you by Bet Online. The game starts here. So I really appreciate it. I'll catch you guys in the next one. Until then, stay safe. And remember, the right way is always the 49ers way.